Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This is Pat Bryan, and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap. I'm joined by the Trash Man. And Trash Man, it's a big show today that we have. As my lights are going out all over the set here, but still super pumped to be here with you guys. Today we're going to be talking about some of our biggest takeaways from mandatory mini camps that just beginning to wrap up. I think that there are 4 to 5 teams that had practices this morning, but it feels, if I'm not mistaken, everybody was going to be wrapped up by either the 20th or the 21st. So we kind of have these things in the rear view. We're going to get into the point in time of the NFL season where coaches and dynasty owners alike are just hoping that, you know, no news is good news. As far as these guys going back home and getting some time off before they come back. And usually what they're saying for most of these teams is going to be around the 20th, 22nd of July. During that week is when they're going to be coming back. So, the news that we've gotten on these players is hopefully the last news that we're going to get until we get to that point. Cause we certainly don't want to hear about any incidents or anything that could affect anybody's eligibility going off and doing anything too dumb. So,
Anything between probably wouldn't be good news.
Yeah. But we do have news coming out of these. So a couple of things that I've kind of had that were some of the biggest takeaways that I sort of had through this, as far as just news. Let's just start out with CJ Stroud. So we started out in OTAs wherever there was concern about his shoulder. He wasn't throwing. People were wondering, what is this? We got word from both the GM and the head coach that, look, this is an abundance of caution, yada, yada, yada. And clearly when you hear the abundance of caution thing, you're like, well, is it really an abundance of caution or is something up here? Because I worry about CJ Stroud. I worry about the sack rate from last season. I worry about the offensive line that they've tried to address, but like they've addressed it in ways that I'm not exactly sure are going to really help with the on-field product. I don't want CJ Stroud coming into fall camp banged up, but he's back throwing. They were talking yesterday. He had a long, deep zinger to Jaden Higgins. And just with all the, all the capital that we have attached to, taking guys like Nico Collins and these types of players, right? We need CJ Stroud to be healthy. And I think that, seeing that he was able to compete here through the end at Tuesday practice, he was able to compete fully. Is big news and a big takeaway as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, well, we're hoping for a bounce back season for CJ Stroud, somebody who, after his rookie season, we're expecting to be, a premier quarterback in the league. And we're disappointed in 2024. He was quarterback 17 overall in fantasy points. And in average fantasy points per game, even lower. And, you know, he's 32.
It was just it was him and Tyreek Hill last year were like the epitome of golden handcuffs, where you drafted him, you had him on your roster, and you like my wife has CJ Stroud on her main fantasy team last year that she obviously depends on me for a lot of advice about, right? And she's like, "Can I just drop this guy?" I'm like, "You probably shouldn't drop him." And she's like, "I don't want to play him anymore." And like I'm sleeping on the couch every week. Because she's like, "Why can't I just, you know, it was tough being a CJ Stroud owner last year."
Yeah, definitely. But I think this season, with what with the news we're getting about him, and with the arsenal of weapons he has at his disposal now, I think we're looking at a bounce back year for CJ Stroud. So potentially value that you can get on him in drafts, because, you know, it's a "what have you done for me lately" kind of league for most people. And so CJ Stroud will be able to be had at value, and he could produce at a top five QB rate throughout the season.
For a quarterback, yeah, for a quarterback, you can get in the 11th or 12th round of home leagues. He'll be a good late round quarterback candidate for sure. All right, let's see here. George Pickens, I kind of had the takeaway of this. Like, it came in, I was obviously happy about him going to Dallas, him getting a quarterback upgrade, a system upgrade, a general just offensive situational upgrade for Pickens. My one concern was, okay, he's always been weird, right? Is like, is this going to be something where he gets to a new spot and it's same old Pickens, where we're going to feel like his production is spotty and he's not going to be a volume guy, but he's going to be so super frustrating with the big days that he has because he's not catching on to the playbook, or he's being mercurial in the locker room or anything like that. I love the reports that we've gotten from him. That he's like meshing with these dudes. You get the reports from practice that, you know, he was like during 7-on-7s, it's just hearing like George Pickens was targeted 7 times over like 19 throws, stuff like that. You're like, oh man, like we could be really cooking here as far as he's concerned. And I think he's a guy, I mean, right now average ADP somewhere around, like, if you look at FFPC and Yahoo and ESPN and the ECR at Fantasy Pros, Underdog, you know, he goes a little bit higher, but you're talking about a guy who you could take here in the 6th round, somebody who you feel like could be your wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3, who is at Pickens' talent level and such a, you know, really elevated standing as far as where he's going. To me, I've come out of this thing feeling pretty confident about George Pickens as a, you know, low end wide receiver 2 for you, or just a dynamite wide receiver 3 for fantasy.
Well, the thing is, I mean, the Cowboys offense is a lot better than the Steelers offense, any offense that he's played on to this point. So it's kind of apples and oranges in that case. And George Pickens, I think his production, you know, he can be a little bit of a diva. It's kind of reliant on how much action he's getting. And the thing is, he's going to get a lot of action in this Dallas offense. So I don't think we're really going to have a problem from him from that point. And yeah, this is just a better offense. And so Pickens in a better offense, he could flirt with wide receiver 1 numbers on some weeks.
Yeah, he could. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it would take one play, right? Yeah. It would take one play, and then if he had just had slightly better associated volume than he had before,
he could be start to operate like a T. Higgins, in the Dallas offense. I wouldn't be surprised to see that.
T. Higgins, just it's interesting that you bring him up. He's a guy who, whenever you look at his scoring distribution, that's a guy who goes over 25 PPR points over the last 2 years, almost 1 out of every 5 games. You know what I mean? It's like you don't realize that T. Higgins has an eruption 21% of the time. That would be incredible to see out of Pickens as far as what he's been over the last 2 years. He's gone over 25 points in only 6% of his games. So more like 1 out of every 10.
And Pickens can be had. What Pickens right now is 57 overall, whereas T. Higgins is 23.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you can get that kind of value, I'd welcome it.
And he's going later on like the ESPNs and the Yahoos and stuff like that. We've discussed how Yahoo's current ADP is bad, though. All right, another one, the Bears running back room. I think this is a big kind of takeaway from it. We didn't want Nick Chubb or J.K. Dobbins going to hurt us with any of the situations. Nick Chubb, of course, goes to Houston, which would ostensibly, if you fear it, would hurt Joe Mixon. J.K. Dobbins goes to Denver, which, if you fear it, hurts R.J. Harvey. But Roshon Johnson and DeAndre Swift are like Neo in the Matrix, just dodging every bullet that comes via free agency, then in the NFL draft, and then as far as veteran additions during OTAs. I think Roshon Johnson is just a terrific value right now. And DeAndre Swift, because it feels like DeAndre Swift has kind of gained a little bit of helium here, right? You're starting to see his ADP tick up to where, you know, you're taking him now firmly sixth round, you know, and you feel like by the time we get into the height of redraft season in earnest, we might be looking at something closer to a fifth round pick for him. Whereas Roshon, it feels like people aren't, you know, he's still going in the 13th, 14th round of these drafts. You can get him with your second to last pick in home leagues before kickers and defenses.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's value to be had all around in that backfield. I mean, DeAndre Swift, only 40 yards short of 1,000 yards rushing in 2024. A lot of people don't realize that. I mean, only 6 touchdowns rushing, so, you know, so that kind of tempered the results there. And no touchdown receptions. But 42 receptions, 386 receiving yards for Swift in 2024. I mean, all-purpose yards over 1,000 yards. Well over 1,000 yards, all-purpose yards. So you combine that and with Roshon Johnson and with a receiver room that is going to open things up for the running game, that's going to take some pressure off of that running game. So I think in both of those situations, you're going to be able to get value.
I think that, look, this is one that we talked about before. I brought it up on another show just at the very end of it. But Dante Thornton, like the drumbeat for this guy in Las Vegas really seems to be heating up. And it's not just the reporting that he is running with the first team. It's also this stuff that, you know, they see him in a different mold than they see the rest of what they have as far as their receivers. They think he brings a different style and a different bit of juice to it. And it's kind of easy to see why, because whenever you look at his size, I mean, he's a 6'4.5, 205-pound guy that runs a 4.3. And if you look at his final season at Tennessee, just an outrageous 3.74 yards per route run. People complain about the Tennessee wide receivers and Josh Heupel's offense. I mean, I can understand people just complain about that offense in general and say that it's gimmicky and stupid. But I think it was something at this point we kind of need to pay attention to. He's running ahead of Jack Besh that was taking 2 rounds ahead of him.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're different kinds of players, and they have different kinds of upsides, too. I think Thornton, you're kind of getting something in the mold of a Nico Collins, except faster. Nico Collins just had the range. This guy has the range and the speed. So a good combination there. I think that having Ashton Jeanty in the backfield there, you know, opens things up for that passing game, opens things up for the deep ball. And so that bodes well for a player of Thornton's capability and of his range. So it might be a bit spotty, his production, or at least to start, but he's going to be somebody who you could plug into your flex, it looks like, and get some, you know, good surprises out of.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I don't think you would do it in week one. No. But if anything, you know, if you don't want to take a 14th round pick on him, just keep him on your waiver wire watch list. Possibly, of course, we still have fall camp to get through. It's like Aaron Glenn was saying at Jets practice the other day. He's like, you know, ask me about these guys when we're not out here in underwear. You know, so they got to get pads on and they got to get all that stuff. But I think that, you know, Dante Thornton for the Raiders, somebody you should keep in your back pocket as far as just monitoring through fall camp. JJ McCarthy, man, it seems like he's going to be able to handle this trash, man. He looks good out there. The quarterback for the Vikings that had his rookie season taken away last year. We all know Kevin O'Connell's system. We all know that the weapons that he has, he's out there looking good. The media is raving about his arm strength, which was a question mark that some people had about him coming out of Michigan. I think a lot of that was sort of based on the system in Michigan, how much they ran the football in route to that champ. That was a championship season for them. Your thoughts, like, are you at all like, are you satiated by the news with him as it relates to, you know, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, the Jordan Addisons?
Well, the thing with McCarthy for me is I wasn't worried about his capabilities. I was worried about, is he going to be healthy? Is he going to be able to be out there on the field? And if that's the case, then I'm not worried about him at all. I think he has the skill set, and I think he's got good receivers who are quarterback friendly. You know, these are guys that can pick the ball out of the air. So he doesn't have to be perfect. He just has to be on the field.
Yeah. All right. But you've always had just immense confidence in JJ McCarthy as a prospect.
No, man. But we saw glimpses of him, you know, I felt better about McCarthy than I did about Knicks coming into the NFL. And I felt good about Knicks. So, yeah, it's never been a huge point of worry for me.
All right. A huge point of worry for me is the Saints quarterback situation. It feels like Tyler Shuck has not come in and won that thing yet. And this kind of goes along with also Alvin Kamara, just some quotes from Kellen Moore recently saying that, you know, look, this thing's going to settle itself out. It's no worries, yada, yada, yada. Been in situations like this before with so-and-so, and, you know, it's like, this thing's not settled between Spencer Rattler and Kellen Moore, Tyler Shuck, in the words of Kellen Moore. And at the same time, he talks about how, well, but, you know, we do have Alvin Kamara, one of the most dynamic players in our game. You know, it's going to start out with him running the football, but you've seen what he's able to do in the passing game. He's going to be a pivotal part of everything that we do. And he says he likes dealing with him. He likes working with him. He likes his football mind, all this stuff, like just spewing love onto Kamara. I'm getting higher and higher on Alvin Kamara as people worry about him and the age cliff, and maybe lower and lower on the passing game. Unless it was maybe Rattler, because we know that Rattler, when he gets out there, he just says, my job's to get the ball to number 12, Chris Olave. And as long as Chris Olave is getting peppered with targets, I think you can still look at him. But man, this makes you real worried about any kind of – it's just worried also about the game scripts as far as just how often they're going to actually be in scoring position.
I mean, with Tyler Shuck, nobody was really high on this guy until he got drafted where he got drafted.
Well, there were people who were – there coming out of the Senior Bowl, there were people who were high on him.
We right. weren't. I mean, but like, it was where he was drafted that kind of – you know, vaulted him up into this kind of rarefied air where we're thinking this guy's going to be, you know, week one starter for the Saints. So he still had to prove it. We thought maybe because of his age, his advanced age for a rookie quarterback, that he would be more NFL ready. But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, maybe we have to evaluate him like we evaluate any other rookie quarterback coming into the league, just learning the offense. And we generally don't expect them to be week one starters. So I think we just have to temper, go back to what our expectations were for Tyler Shough pre-draft, coming into this whole thing. And yeah, it does open things up, you know, for Kamara, for that running game and for the tight ends there. And we can, you know, I think we have to lower our expectations for receivers other than Chris Olave and that offense, you know, just from right now.
The interesting note on Tyler Shough, he still had, I think he still hasn't signed his rookie deal because what, so Jaden Higgins, apparently, let me make sure that this is right. Cause I was just seeing people tweet about this earlier, but I think that Jaden Higgins signed some kind of deal with, yeah. So he just got, he signed a fully guaranteed rookie deal. And, as the 34th overall pick in the draft. And that's generally something you know, that was the first time that you'd seen it for a second round pick. Tyler Shough is now saying he wants that. So we'll see everything shakes out with that. And
he needs to beat out Spencer Rattler before he demands
it. The thing about it that's disappointing is like when you're coming into the league, you're like what, 25, 26 years old, like, and you've played in three different offensive systems in college. Like part of the appeal of him was like, he was able to pick these systems up easily. He's mature. He should be able to come in and do it. Right. It's a little bit disappointing that, you know, he just isn't well ahead of Rattler at this point.
Maybe this just bodes well for Rattler. Maybe Rattler's just improved.
I find that hard to believe, but I've seen stranger things happen. Trash man. This is a strange thing. I've come out of these mini camps thinking that getting Jacksonville right is going to be really important this season. Getting it right with what's going to go on with ETN, how much Bigsby's going to hurt him, how much Bashaul Tutin's going to hurt him, whether or not the rhetoric that he looks like the RB1 is going to be right, because I love Liam Cohen's – this is mainly because I love Liam Cohen's offense. And I think they've put the pieces together around Trevor Lawrence. They've made it – they've made six moves as far as offensive line. They bring in Travis Hunter. They already have Brian Thomas, who they say is going to be just a giant feature of the offense. Liam Cohen has shown that for fantasy, man, like we can have multiple wide receivers, multiple running backs, all these guys produce and be fantasy viable.
Then right? What are you worried about?
Well, I'm kind of worried about. Do you have a take about this? Does Travis Hunter at all worry you about Brian Thomas? Like, I think that's important to get right. I think it's important to get right whether Hunter is going to come in and be the same Hunter at wide receiver that we saw at Colorado. Because if he is, he's being underdrafted right now, right? Like, we could be talking about a guy that after the next season. If he's like the Travis Hunter of Colorado, we'll be coming into next season saying he's one of the top wide receivers in the whole league. And if that's the case, it probably hurts Brian Thomas.
Hey, if Liam Cohen can bring the juice, like he think he can, I don't see why the Jaguars receiving corps couldn't be something like the Cincinnati Bengals receiving corps, where you have two guys who are operating at a premier level, you know, on a weekly basis. I think they can have that potentially. So that doesn't worry me. That I'm hoping I can get value on Travis Hunter in his rookie year. Please let me have as much access to Travis Hunter as I can in his rookie year.
And I think also just for maybe late round quarterback in 12 team leagues, certainly 14 team leagues, but Trevor Lawrence, dude.
No, absolutely.
Super flex for sure. I mean, What a later quarterback too in Superflex, Trevor Lawrence would be just to like say like, all right, well, let's just wrap up all this production that we're hoping to get.
I'm just gonna sit on quarterbacks for a while and wait for CJ Stroud or Trevor Lawrence to come around. Okay. that's my early plan on quarterbacks.
All right, two final takeaways here. I think it's important to note that Christian McCaffrey looks like he's fully healthy, and they're not even taking it easy on him. They're just telling him you can go out and do all the stuff, even when other veterans are sitting out and stuff like that. You're going to take part in all these drills. I don't know whether or not we're going to be able to get him in the second round once we get into redraft season in earnest. You and I are already in redraft season. We have been, but you know, obviously we get here super early. Earlier than even other people in the industry. So certainly ahead of people who are the normies out there, who are the casuals. I think once the casuals begin to infiltrate our game here, we're going to be probably looking at CMC going at the 107 or something, but you could have a different opinion. Just curious, you know, what do you think it means for the landscape of fantasy to have, you know, Christian McCaffrey now going sometimes, I mean, sometimes you get him with your second round, you start out like Ashton Jeanty, Christian McCaffrey.
Well, I'm thinking, I mean, it's a once bitten, twice shy kind of fantasy football landscape, I think, with Christian McCaffrey at this point. So I wouldn't be surprised if you could get him at the turn. I mean, I think that's well within the realm of possibilities.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.